Sometimes the scripture gives us these kinds of examples of what we are not to do. It shows us errors that we should avoid. We've come to three such examples this morning. My goal is simple in this sermon. I want us to learn from the failures of others to avoid sin. Oh, that we would learn from the failures of others to avoid sin. Again, our text is from Genesis 19. I'll begin the reading in verse 24. Genesis 19, verse 24. Hear now the word of the Lord, God's holy, perfect, inerrant, infallible word. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities and all the valley and the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the valley. And he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. And so it was when God destroyed the cities of the valley. God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. Now Lot went up out of Zoar and lived in the hills with his two daughters, for he was afraid to live in Zoar, so he lived in a cave with his two daughters. The firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come into us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve offspring from our father." So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lie with her father. He did not know when she lay down or when she arose. The next day, the firstborn said to the younger, "Behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie with him, that you may preserve offspring from our father." So they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lie with him. He did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot became pregnant by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. The younger also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammon. He is the father of the Ammonites to this day. This is the word of the Lord. As we consider this painful text of Scripture, I want us to do so by considering the words of Jesus as he looked back to this event. In Luke 17, verse 32, Jesus says simply, "Remember Lot's wife." It's a command. Jesus says, "Remember Lot's wife." Why do you think Jesus wants us to remember Lot's wife? I think it's because Jesus wants us to avoid her sin. He doesn't want us to make the same mistake. He wants us to avoid her error. Let's consider the sin of Lot's wife. I'm going to go back and read from earlier in the chapter, beginning at verse 15. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up! Take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside of the city. And as they brought them out, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look back. Or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away. Firm warning from the angels. Escape. Run for your life. Get up away from where the destruction is about to fall. Don't look back. But again, in verse 24, the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. And then verse 26, but Lot's wife behind him looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Immediate judgment falls upon her for looking back. The gospel calls us all to repent, to turn away from our sin and not to look back to it. And yet that's what she seems to be doing here. Why is she looking back? Well, she's looking back towards her old life in Sodom. Her heart is back in Sodom. That's where her true home is. That's everything she's valued most. It's all there in Sodom. And it's hard for her to part with Sodom. And as she reveals her true heart, what matters to her, the discipline of the Lord comes upon her. We need to ask ourselves, if we've been given a similar call to repent and not turn back to the things of the world, do we pause and look back? Do we yearn for the old life of sin? Are we like the people of Israel who are rescued from Egypt, and yet we look back longing to the slavery in Egypt? It doesn't make any sense, and yet they did it, and so have we. Ask yourselves, where's your heart? What is it that you value? Where's your true home? What do you like to do with your time? Where do you like to be? What company do you like to keep? Think of the music you want to listen to, the entertainment that you're drawn towards. Is it the things that lift you upward to think about the greatness of God? Do you spend your time contemplating our God who is holy and righteous and just and good and merciful and loving? Do you delight in his steadfast love? Or is your heart carried away thinking about sin and transgression? Do you long for what is forbidden? We're not supposed to make this mistake. We're not supposed to look back to the old life. We're to turn. When Lot's wife turned back, she was demonstrating her disbelief, her lack of the fear of the Lord. An angel had said, run for your life. Don't look back. And she thought, I can look back. Judgment's not going to fall on me. It's not that big of a deal. I don't have to heed this warning. Oh, how foolish are we to reject the warnings that come from God's word. Don't make these mistakes. Jesus doesn't want us to forget Lot's wife. Again, in Luke 17, he says, remember Lot's wife. But this is what he says in the next verse. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life will keep it. Lot's wife was seeking to preserve her old life back in Sodom. She wanted that old life. And so she lost her life. When we yearn for the old sinful life, it's not a good thing. The truth is, if you want to be back in Sodom, then you will lose your life. Rather, it's those who are willing to lose their old life who are given life eternal. It's those who are willing to make a clean break away from the old life who truly live. Jesus tells us to remember Lot's wife so that we can learn from her mistake. It really is that simple. So I call to you on behalf of Jesus and say, forsake your sin and don't look back. Turn away from it for good. Paul writes in Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We're constantly being told, you need to fit in. You need to go with the flow of the world around us. And we're intentionally supposed to be different. We're supposed to be conformed or transformed into something new. That's the work of sanctification. That's what we're called to. Don't turn back to the former way of life. Learn from the failure of Lot's wife to avoid sin. Sadly, it's not just Lot's wife that sins. This seems to be a family affair. So secondly, let's consider the sin of Lot. As we do so, let's just zoom out for a minute. Compare with me the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah with the previous massive judgment that we see in the book of Genesis, the global flood, right? These judgments come, both cases, because of the iniquity, the sin, the evil of mankind. God brings this incredible judgment, and yet, out of each of them, he rescues a man with his family. Noah was rescued from the flood, and Lot was rescued from the fire. Noah was shown favor, and so Lot was shown favor. And sadly, after Noah was rescued, he got drunk. And after Lot was rescued, he likewise gets drunk. Let's consider his failings. Look at verse 30. Now Lot went up out of Zoar and lived in the hills with his two daughters, for he was afraid to live in Zoar. So he lived in a cave with his two daughters. And the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come into us after the manner of all the earth. That's not true. That is not the situation. There are other men on earth. And yet, notice what's happened here. Lot has isolated his daughters. He should have left the valley and found Abraham and sought fellowship. But instead, he says, we're going to get out of this, and we're just going to be alone up in the woods, up in the cave. There is a danger that we do the same thing, where we isolate ourselves. We cut ourselves off from the people of God. And isolation just leads often to more and more sin. Right? We need one another. We need to be together. I think it was a mistake for him to just go hide off in this cave. These girls isolated think there's just no other way for mankind to survive. It's a mess. Well, the mess continues. Verse 32, again, this is the older daughter speaking. She says, come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve offspring from our father. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. He did not know when she lay down or when she arose. The next day, the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve offspring from our father. So they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus, both the daughters of Lot became pregnant by their father. Lot has failed to lead his family to know God. Husbands, fathers, they're given the responsibility of raising up their family to know the ways of the Lord. It doesn't seem that that's what's happened in Lot's family at all. He has failed to protect his family as he ought, to guide them into the truth. Certainly, we see here that Lot has failed to practice moderation. He gets drunk, really drunk. Let me just throw it out there. Nothing good ever happens when you get drunk. It only leads to trouble, to problems, to even greater sins. And just think with me, how drunk do you have to be to not know when someone lies down and rises from the bed? He doesn't know what's happening in his own drunken stupor. He has no idea. And he's willing to get that drunk 2 days in a row? Oh, this is a failure to practice self-control. It's on display. Lot should have established for his family boundaries, restraint, standards that would be followed. But he's failed to protect his family, and now they're dealing with the devastating consequences of sin. Let me just say a word to the men in the room. Men, we cannot allow ourselves to get in this kind of immorality. We need restraint. We need self-control. We need moderation. We're supposed to lead. We're supposed to show the family the way in which we should go. But here he just gives himself to wine, and that leads to even more sin. Rather, we're to be the ones who are responsibly leading, caring for, protecting the family. If we're to be saturated with anything, it's the Word of God. We don't need to be drunk with wine. Listen to these words from Ephesians 5, verse 18. Paul says it so bluntly. Do not get drunk with wine, but rather be filled with the Spirit. So we are supposed to be filled, like a sponge, filled up with the Spirit of God. We're supposed to let the Spirit of God take control in our life. We are not to fill ourselves with alcohol and let it take control in our life. We should learn from Lot's mistake. We must not fall into these same sins. We need to learn from Lot's failures to avoid sin. Lot was responsible to lead, to guide, and yet Lot can't control the hearts and the behavior of his daughters. He's supposed to show them the right way, but the scripture makes it clear that each person is responsible for their own sinful behavior. And so finally, let's consider the sin of Lot's daughters. Look back to verse 32. Again, the words of the older sister. She says, come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve offspring from our father. That is a sinful suggestion, a wicked, evil plan. It should have been rejected immediately. The other sister should have said, by no means, we can't possibly do such a wicked thing. But that's not the response that we receive. And it's not just that they're planning to do evil. They're planning to entangle others in evil. Ladies, you are responsible for the choices you make, for how you cultivate your own heart. You're responsible for what you suggest to others and for the actions you take. Here, having children, which all throughout Scripture is seen as a blessing, here it's twisted. It's more important to these young girls that they have children than that they are faithful to God. It's more important than doing what the Lord has said. Oh no, this is all twisted. You see, it's very possible to take the good gifts of God and to make them idols, things that we cannot live without, things that we must have, rather than just trusting the Lord with his timing. If he gives children, great. If not, I trust the Lord. The blessing of children must only be sought within the covenant of marriage. And here, incest, making it worse. Look down at verse 37. We read of the consequences of this sinful action. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. The younger also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammon. He is the father of the Amorites to this day. Now, if you're familiar with the rest of the biblical story, those names are familiar. The Moabites, the Amorites, these are the enemies of Israel. These are whole nations of wicked people who have to be driven out of the promised land. They're this continual thorn in Israel's side. And they come from this incestuous relationship between Lot's daughters and himself. This sinful action is going to lead to all kinds of difficulty and problems later to come in the story. And so it's significant that it's pointed out here that these sinful people came right here from a sinful action. It's my practice to read through the Bible every year. I'm aided by having a Bible reading plan. This week, my plan had me reading from Zephaniah. I got to chapter 2, and these words just lit off the page. You'll see if you notice why. Listen to Zephaniah 2:8 and 9. The Lord speaking and says, I have heard the taunts of Moab and the reviling of the Amorites, how they have taunted my people and made boast against their territory. Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Moab shall become like Sodom and the Amorites like Gomorrah. See, centuries later, the people who began in this sinful way, they have just continued in their sin, and ultimately, they're going to receive the same judgment that these daughters of Lot narrowly escaped. You see, judgment is still coming. It wasn't just Sodom and Gomorrah that dealt with the fire. All sin will receive its just penalty. That's what the scripture goes on to say about the Amorites and the Moabites. They will become like Sodom and Gomorrah. These wicked nations that come from Lot's daughters, they are judged. So again, oh, that we would learn from the failure of Lot's daughters to avoid sin. Now, if I were to just stop the sermon right there, we would have a problem. I've spoken true words. We're not supposed to sin in these ways. We should look at all these examples and say, I don't want to do that. I want to go a different way. But the Bible, all throughout, is filled with hope. Where's the hope of the gospel in a text like this, filled with all kinds of sin and depravity? Well, even in a situation like this, God turns evil for good. How could he do so? What could possibly happen here? The Moabites, who are Israel's enemies, are mentioned verse 37 again. Let me read it for you. The firstborn bore a son, called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. I've told you a little bit about how the Moabites are enemies. They're sinners. It's on display throughout Scripture. They indeed are judged. And yet there was a woman from among the Moabites who left her people and married an Israelite. And she went on to bear a son. Ruth's son was in the family line of Jesus. This is fascinating. This sinful action ultimately led to the coming of salvation for sinners. God sovereignly ordained this sinful act in a way that it would ultimately bring about the Savior. This boggles the mind. These women are doing what is wicked and wrong, and yet the Lord still brings good out of it. The Lord does this again and again and again and again. You should avoid sin. Oh, but there's still hope for sinners like us. This is just another reminder that wherever we are in the Bible, it's always connected to Jesus. We cannot escape him. He is the main character. He is the one who did not sin in any of these ways, but who took the punishment that was deserved for sins like these and many others. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and that's really good news because sinners need a Savior. This morning I've described various sins, sins that we should avoid, yet sins that have certainly been committed, some sins that we have committed. I say to you this morning, whatever you've done, whatever your sin, no matter how shameful, how vile it is, the gospel of Jesus Christ tells us that it can be forgiven. Jesus died for the worst of us. Romans 5, verse 8 gives us this incredible promise. This the basis of the gospel itself. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died knowing just how horrible we were. He took the punishment that we deserved so that we could be forgiven. I mentioned that righteous God will see to it that every sin receives its just penalty. Either you bear your own penalty in hell forever, or Jesus bears it for you. I tell you, don't bear it yourself. Turn from your sin and trust in Jesus. He has made the way of escape, the way to life. If God can take the incestuous relationship of Lot and his daughters and bring about good, well, then he can certainly take the sinful mess of your life and bring about good. So turn from your sin and trust in Jesus. Repent and believe, and you will be saved. And to each one of us, we really should learn from all these failures that it is better to avoid sin. Let's ask for the Lord's help. Lord, it is so easy for us to continue in sin, for us to go back to old sins, and yet we don't have to. The truth is, there is no temptation that comes upon us that is beyond our ability, in that you have promised us that you provide the way of escape in the midst of every temptation. Lord, I pray that we would joyfully turn away from sin, not looking back to it, not longing for more of it, but that we would make a clean break, and then we would walk in righteousness and blamelessness, that we would pursue holiness. Lord, we want to be more and more like Jesus. So Lord, help us to turn away from sin and never turn back to it. And help us in the midst of our failings to always remember the grace, the mercy that has been purchased for us by the very blood of Christ. Oh, that we would trust the Lord. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.